after your kids are raised and out of the house, it's a goal, right? Then it's going to be you guys in the house.
It's a privilege to be with you today. When we were talking about the marriage conference and putting it on, I come home and talk to Allison and said, you know, we thought it'd be a good idea to get some of the wives' perspectives, and, you know, I think that would add a nice dynamic to it. And so, because I'm one of the counselors there at ACCFS, and she stays home and keeps our three children alive and does a good job of that. And so, thankful to have her with me today. And I told her about the topic, as, you know, staying connected through seasons of parenting, and she says, oh, I'd love to go to that one. I said, well, actually, I think we're going to present that one. So we're in the thick of that, and we would love to know how to do this as well. And so hopefully, it's been really good for us to think about what does this look like, and how do we walk through this together. And so my hope is that it can encourage you and stir you up, and just pursuing the goal. I mean, I think that's a worthy place to start, and no doubt this is hard. It is a challenge, and so, you know, we're in that with you together.
So we're going to start with the bad news. We have a lot of good news today, but the bad news is that relationships are difficult, right? Is that like a shock to everybody? So the verses we used are just right after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and God is explaining that there's going to be tension. There's going to be tension between you. There's going to be a tension between you and the flesh, between, you know, there's going to be sin. There's this tension, right? And it's a result. And sometimes as married people, we tend to think when there's tension in a relationship, it's because somebody's wrong, right? Something happened. Something could be fixed. And sometimes that's the case. But the reality is that relationships are difficult, that there's going to be tension. And we can either consider that a failure, or we can use it as an opportunity to grow and to learn more about each other. So just to start with, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about cultivating that friendship in your marriage. That's what we really want to focus in on today. We want to first recognize that this is tough, and that relationships, that the tension's going to be there, and that doesn't necessarily mean one of you is wrong or that the other person should fix it. Sometimes that's true. But a lot of times it's just because it's hard, and that's a result of the fall. And what we're battling against is not each other, but against sin and flesh.
So if we move on from that, the other foundation that we want to try to operate from and start from is this verse here in Colossians 3:12, where it tells us to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. That for you and I, as we think about staying connected to our spouses through seasons of parenting, we must know who we are to be able to do that well. We must understand who our spouse is to be able to do that well. The reality is, if we believe that we have been chosen by God to be in His family, like He's looked across and He said, I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and you, and I want you, like, He wants you in His family. That if we look to our spouse to fill all of that up, they're going to let us down. Our spouses are never intended to fully fill that up for us and be perfect in that. But we can be filled up by the reality of who we are in Christ, that we are His chosen children, and being in His family, that through faith in Christ, that now we are holy. That I, by His shed blood, I am holy, and my spouse is as well, and beloved. There's moments when I don't feel loved, or she's not doing what I'd like, or he's not doing what you'd like from him, and so on. Remember that ultimately that is filled up by the reality that we are God's children, by the reality that through Him we are holy, that He beloves us and He cares for us. And the same is true for our spouse. And if we can keep that picture in mind, surely that would change the interaction. That we would know that's true about ourselves, and that we would remember that's true about them as well. Surely that would impact how we would interact with each other in these hard moments and the stress and challenges that arise from the reality that relationships are hard. Those are the foundations we'll work from as we move on here forward now.
So once we have those foundational pieces that we all have married sinners and our spouses have married sinners, that we have our identity based in who and how Christ sees us, then we can move into this vision of friendship in marriage. I think if you look at all the verses in the Bible that talk specifically about marriage, there are quite a few, but they're written under the assumption that you are already brothers and sisters in Christ, right? So all the verses that speak to how Christians should relate to each other, those also must apply to a marriage relationship, right? So it's wonderful to submit, respect, love, all those verses that are used specifically in the marriage relationship, they're wonderful. They're truth. But they're all built on all the other verses about being brothers and sisters in Christ, how you're supposed to treat each other as believers. So those also apply to the marriage relationship. And so this is following the verses that Brian just read in Colossians. There's 100 verses you could put up here about how to treat each other as believers. So kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. You're going to be willing to be flexible with each other. You're going to extend grace with them. A lot of times those verses aren't written specifically towards the marriage relationship, but if you're brothers and sisters in Christ, then those apply to you. So those are all principles that are going to build this friendship that we believe is fundamental to a relationship and a marriage that reflects Christ. So if one thing that we try to think about is, so this is specifically toward the busy seasons of parenting when it's really hard to connect to each other, to find time and all the things that come into play when you're in busy seasons of parenting. It's good for us to sit back and think of down the road, after your kids are raised and out of the house, it's a goal, right? Then it's going to be you guys in the house. And so if your goal is 100% on raising your kids and 100% on being active members of the church, and you lose this relationship, the marriage friendship, then it's going to be really hard to start that when your kids are all out of the house. So it's really hard to do when your kids are little, but yet those moments and those habits that we can start in busy seasons of parenting, they might not pay off right away because it's tough, but down the road, the goal is that your friendship's going to be maintained, because that's going to be really hard. It's really hard to not maintain a friendship for 18 years and be like, well, then we're going to be right back where we were when we were newlyweds, right? Once the kids are out of the house, it doesn't work that way. I think we all know that. So if you keep in mind that it's going to be us two someday, we want to like living together. We want to enjoy each other, that it's going to take some purposeful, intentional habits.
And so continuing that picture of friendship, I think unfortunately for a lot of us, we can look at the marriage relationship much more through a lens of a contract rather than a friendship. You know, that for many of us as Christians, we see marriage as a lifelong commitment, which of course is a good thing. But there's a part of us, I think, that looks at that and says, well, I'm in it for life. I guess it's probably going to be terrible, but I'm not going to go anywhere, and I'll just deal with it. And I think, what a sad picture. But it is, and I think if we're not careful, that's accidentally the picture we can get as believers, that I've signed up for life, and you know what? I just got to endure this, and someday there'll be release and reward at the end of it. And like, how sad. And how sad that we can look at it through this lens that just says it's a lifelong commitment and you just bear with it and get on. Versus this idea, if we can have this picture, this image of friendship that, and I think even if you just think about friendship from a high level, like that there's playfulness between us. That I really, you know, we desire that the other one would feel cared about and loved, and that we want to support each other, and this is a, you know, team. You know, isn't it amazing that we tend to be very quick to give friends the benefit of the doubt? I mean, I think we're really good at that generally. Our friends may not be perfect. There's probably things we don't like about, you know, specific things about friendships. But we're an endurer, and we just don't give that same grace a lot of times to our relationship. We see it as a contract, or we see it as a merely authority or love and respect. And those are great lenses. Those are really powerful, really helpful. But what a low view of marriage. If we can like each other, what a privilege. So, you know, it can be so easy to look at it through this lens that says, you know what, I'll do as much as you do. And keeping score as the day goes on, right? Like for us right now, we keep score around diapers. Like, how many diapers have you changed today? Well, that means you're behind, so you need to pick it up. You know? And again, you're going to do that, but if that interaction can be playful in a way that says, you know what, I don't want to change a diaper either. Or if it's around, you know, for you, it's your 16-year-old and he won't come home on time. Or it's probably she won't come home on time, right? You know, like, and who's going to take that conversation on? And instead of looking at it through, I did it last time, you do it, like, we're in this together. If we can tag team it, we can take turns. But this is about, how can I serve the other one? How can I let them know that I care about them and their interests are really important to me? Far too often with a conflict, we're kind of always evaluating the other person. How are they doing? Are they measuring up? Are they putting in what they're supposed to do? Because if they're not going to do their side of the contract, I'm not going to do mine either. And it starts to look at this as, you know, we're against each other, rather than, again, we're in this together and make this work. And if we can just focus on how do I bless that person? How do I let her know that I see her as a chosen, holy, beloved daughter of God? And that I know that's a reality for me as in Christ. And that to respond out of that and not asking her to fill that up in me. That contracts, we look for a period of time, and in friendship, we're just able to endure with each other, to be patient with each other. You know, that we're willing to put up with the little things about our friends that we don't like, whereas with our spouses, we get frustrated with silly things like, I don't really like the way they laugh. You know? Or you know what? They just talk way too much. If they quit talking, I'd like them a lot more. Or I can't get two words out of them. What's their problem? Talk some more. Like, you pick the topic. We look at each other and we say, you know what? I'd like you a lot more if you were more like me. You know, if you were just a little bit more like me, I'd be able to love and enjoy you more. And it's such a sad picture. We would never actually say that. Well, I don't think many of us would say that. But we say that in our interaction all the time. Be more like me, and then I will like you. Whereas the scriptures call us to gentleness and kindness and love and meek, no matter who they are, whether they're strengths or weaknesses, but be able to be there in that with them. That if we can focus on, you know, it's really easy to have these roles, these different, like, I will do this if you do this. Or, you know, if I get this, then I will give this. So if I look at Allison and say, you know what? You need to go to Menards and get screws for me. And she looks at me and says, are you crazy? I don't know where the screws are. You know how long that's going to take me to find the screws in Menards? And it's true. Like, it'll take her a long time. And she says, no, not going to do it.
And I'll get the wrong ones.
And then she's going to get the wrong ones. You know, and those small moments can be so frustrating. And then she looks at me and says, hey, can you get some milk on the way home? I'm like, are you crazy? I don't know where the milk's at. You could go right in and get it. You can get it. And instead of trying to figure out, like, who's where and what, you know, like, how do I just serve her? And if I can serve her and she can serve me. And I know some of you are saying, but you don't know how hard my spouse is to love. You don't know how hard my spouse is to be a friend with. And the point is, I think if we start with the basics of seeing ourselves in Christ and treating ourselves with those principles that we're reading in Colossians, that's what we're called to. Some of your spouses are difficult to live with, but you're difficult to live with too, believe it or not. You're not quite the cupcake you probably feel like a lot of times. And again, we just have to get over the reality that we would like them more if they were more like us. The reality is we are called to be a certain way because of who we are in Christ, not because of how wonderful or terrible they are. And if we can get that picture, we can have great friendships and we can have a ball together. It's still hard. There's still conflict. But what a picture. So now as we move on in here to expectations, it's so easy for us to have expectations of our spouse that they just cannot meet. Like if your spouse, if you've been married for 10, 20, 30 years and your spouse is really forgetful and they've been really forgetful for 20 years, you're probably going to just need to suck it up, you know? Like, they're not going to remember everything tomorrow. That's just part of where they are. Or if they have a really hard time expressing themselves, like, they're probably not going to be able to do that really well tomorrow. They're going to not use very many words tomorrow. Now, that's still hard. I'm not saying those things are easy. I'm just saying we have to be able to say, ugh. My expectations, is that really realistic? Or is this part of just what God's created them to be and I need to shift what I'm expecting? I can still be frustrated. I can still want something different and I can even let her know that man, this is really hard. I wish you would remember this thing. And she can say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just not, okay. And then she'll forget tomorrow. She's not forgetful. I'm just, you know, making that up. But you have your own things. You know what those things are that you wish were different. But if you come in time and time and time again about expectations that they can't meet because it's not who God's created them to be, that needs to shift. Again, be open with them. Talk about that. But not because it's going to change them, but because you're trying to connect emotionally like Caleb was just talking us through. And as you walk through life together, you're going to get triggered. You're going to get frustrated with each other. So part of it is, is it an expectation thing that needs to shift? That's one piece of it. And then the second piece of it is, because relationships are hard, you're going to get triggered. You're going to get frustrated with the other person. And in those moments, to have this mindset, if we can see them as a friend that we care about, that we want to bless, that we want to help, that we want to partner with, in those moments then, we can do the next small thing. In those small, mundane moments of the day, like Caleb just talked about a few minutes ago, that we can bite our tongues, or we can express our frustration in a way that they can hear it. Or we can go ahead and change the diaper, even though you changed the last six, you know, or that, you know, you can take out the trash, even though you always take out the trash, or you can go fill up the vehicle with gas, or you can have this conversation with the 12-year-old, and so on and so forth, that you can partner with each other in that, work together through that, rather than using those triggers to just hurt each other. Because what happens is, Satan wants to use those small moments to shut our hearts down towards each other, to see each other as negative and the enemy, and then slowly over time, we drift, and we drift, and we drift, and we drift, to a place where we don't even recognize each other. We, not only are we not friends, but we just as soon hang out with anybody else. We don't want to do anything together, and what a sad picture. And if we can turn towards each other and have this idea, this concept of friendship and care and partnership, what a joy to walk through the struggles of parenting. It doesn't make them easy. But if we have a partner in that, we can tolerate that and walk through those things with connection and joy.
So this slide gets really practical. So some of these things are going to apply to some of you, and some of them are absolutely not. So that's okay. As we have been talking about this topic and trying to figure out what that looks like in our little world, in our house, and even talking about it with friends and with relatives, we've identified some really common barriers. So some of these probably are going to apply to you. And some, you know, just want to kind of spend some time talking through what that might look like, what it looks like to recognize some of those barriers, and then move towards really engaging a friendship with your spouse. So you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, like it would be really great if we could have a quality conversation every evening at 5:30 when he gets home, which is really impractical when you have three little kids. So if that would be something that we, our goal was to have quality conversation when he gets home at 5:30, you think, well, we just don't have the time. Like, we have three children that are very demanding at 5:30 because they're starving. They're going to die if they don't get dinner. And then, you know, then they only have a short time with dad, and then everybody's tired, and then my brain is done by the time they're in bed, and we just don't have time. Like, we don't have time to connect. And some of that is really honest evaluation. But if you take that barrier and you just think, well, then we can't do it, then you're going to miss a lot of opportunities to connect with your spouse, and you're going to, you know, find yourself 18 years down the road and you don't even know who each other are anymore. And you're like, wait, I thought we used to be friends. So if time is a barrier for you, one of the things that we talk about quite a bit is deciding what we are inviting into our schedule that is hindering some of our goals. So there might be things in your life that you can simplify, and there might not be. But if you look at your schedule, what is making your life so busy? So if that's a barrier for you, if you're thinking, we don't have time, we don't have time to talk, we don't even have time to engage in a friendship, what are you inviting into your schedule that you can take out? What are you inviting into your schedule that is more important than engaging a friendship with your spouse? Those are probably good things, right? They're not bad things, but they might be things where in this moment of your life you need to say no to, so that you can have those times where you're engaging in friendship and connecting with your spouse. You might be just overwhelmed by this concept. It might seem like it's not an option. You don't understand. I don't even know why it's so hard to connect to my spouse, but it feels really impossible. Something I've kind of made my motto lately is, which Brian mentioned before, is you just do the next right thing. When I feel like I am like so foggy and everything that's possible could have gone wrong that day and I didn't respond and how I wished I would have responded, that you can always just do the next right thing, right? So if it feels really super overwhelming to engage in meaningful conversation or friendship, to pursue your spouse in this way, just do one thing. Pick one thing, identify one thing that you can do to connect with your spouse. And that might be sending a text. You might be texting in the middle of the day tomorrow. I guess not, you might be in church. Don't text in the middle of the day tomorrow. Monday, when your spouse is at work, and you just send a text saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, or thanks for working so hard for our family. It might feel really insignificant if you're really struggling to connect. You might think, this is so silly. Like, we need to talk about big things, and this seems really silly to send. But you have to start somewhere, right? Just start. Just do one little thing. I love talking about this after the main session, where he's talking about that our brains are wired for this. We're wired to connect, and these bids, I think it's really, really neat to think about the different ways that God created our brains for relationship. One of you might be unaware that there's a problem. If that's the case, if you feel like your spouse isn't aware that there's a problem and you don't know how to communicate that, it might sound really scary to be honest and vulnerable about where you're at. And it might be scary to say, you know what, I wish this was different. I know you have no idea because I haven't been honest with you, but I'm frustrated at this, or I want to be able to connect on this level, and we're just not. Be honest and vulnerable. It's easy to say, rolls off the tongue nicely, but it's hard to do sometimes. Communication might be really hard for you guys. It might be a personality thing. It might be the stage of life you're in. It might be, you know, someone's working 5 days a week out of state. Something, there might be just really difficult. Communication is really difficult for you guys. So one of the things you can do is identify just three green topics. So a green topic is like vanilla topic, like, don't talk about vanilla, but talk about like something that's not high tension. It's just like, let's just like practice this back and forth dialogue. Like, it's, for some reason, it's really hard for us to do this, but we probably shouldn't wait until we have to talk about this really hard thing. If we're not used to this back and forth dialogue about these topics that aren't high tension, we're not going to be able to do it when there is high tension. So just practice that. Talk about your day. Talk about something that isn't going to bring those tensions, if that's something that's really hard for you to do as a couple. And then different roles. I think everybody can connect to this. What we tend to do, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, I just talked to so many people, that you tend to pick your roles as you're raising your kids, and you stick to your roles, you find out what you're good at, you find out what your spouse is good at, and you run with it. And some of that is good, but it can cause us to kind of get in our ruts, and then we find ourselves miles apart, right? And we've never invited each other into our roles. I have a good friend who the husband just moved back to the family farm to start farming. And she grew up outside of Chicago. She has no idea how to farm. She doesn't know anything about farming. She moved back to the cornfields. And it would be really easy for him to say, okay, I grew up doing this. Like, I know you don't know about this. He knows about it. And he's joining his dad in business, so his dad knows about it. And it would be really easy for those two to make all the decisions. But he's very intentional in saying, this is, like, if we're going to do this, then we're going to do this together. And he's inviting her into these business decisions she doesn't know anything about. And I was just really impressed by it, that they just said, this is going to be a decision for our family. We're going to do it together. I might not know the ins and outs of farming, but we have to make these decisions together to stay connected. And those of you who married farmers, well, they're probably not here today because it's October. But it can be really tough seasons when your husband's a farmer and they're gone a lot. And she just knew that if we're going to do this, we have to stay connected. And part of that is making decisions together. So that looks different for every marriage, but identify areas that you can connect in, that you can invite your spouse in, that you can say, okay, you know, here's what I'm thinking about schooling for our kids. And the husband could say, I don't know, you just do whatever you want to do. Well, you know, take the time to invest in each other's roles and be willing to learn about the other's roles and talk to each other about that. And just be willing to learn. Be willing to learn and make those decisions together. And then hopefully the goal is you'll find yourself connected, even if you're not necessarily following through on what those decisions are. You know, she's probably not going to be out in the tractor very often actually farming, but she feels connected to the family business because they've talked about this and they made these decisions together. So we came up with four questions. Whether or not you just pull one of these like out at date night and talk about it, or you spend some time today going through these are not like one and done questions where you answer it and you're done. But it's good to talk about every few years. What do you think we do well? What are some of these areas and ways to engage in a friendship that we do really well? That's a good one to start with because it's positive. And then once you go through those, what do you think, how do you think our relationship could grow? What are ways that you could see, it's kind of the really nice way of saying, like, what are we not doing so well? But you don't have to word it like that. But how could we grow? And then what are three barriers to friendship in our marriage? Those are going to change, right? The different barriers that we've talked about, those are going to change. How does time? Is time a barrier for us right now? What are three barriers? And are there things that we can do to manage that or to change that? Or are these things we need to walk through and learn how to connect through them? And then what are we running towards? It's always good to connect about what does this look like a year from now? Or it could be next month, a goal that we want to reach as a family next month, something where we're both deciding together, this is what we want our family to look like, this is what we want to accomplish together. Yeah, we just found those questions to be helpful and some practical ways to dialogue with each other.